gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
And I speak to you in God's holy name, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. Amen. Please be seated. Today is the octave day of Easter, the day that is written here when Thomas came and met Jesus, and understood that Christ was a new creation. We often call Thomas the Doubter. I like to call him Thomas the Scientist, because he wanted to see proof. And the proof he had is that there was this overwhelming presence of the Christ in their presence and within them. And that this whole understanding marks a whole new beginning for Christians. We sang "Breathe on Me, Breath of God" today as a gradual hymn. And the reason for that is, earlier in the reading of the Gospel, we have where Jesus, on the first day, when Jesus was present in the Christ form, breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." This is the beginning, a symbol, going back to Genesis, that this is the new creation. This is the new moment of Adam and Eve, that the disciples were now starting anew. That this is a reference back as God breathed life into Adam and Eve, Jesus was breathing life as the Christ into the disciples. And this, we are products of this new breath, this new beginning. We are members of the new Adam and the new Eve. We are the new creation. And this is often forgotten. What's also important here is that the Christians then and now were very different than all the other faith groups that existed at that time, including the Jews. And I want to spend a couple of minutes looking at that and its implication for us living today. At the time of Jesus, there were, in the Roman world and in the Greek world, everybody had a god that they worshipped. And you've probably heard about some of them. Zor and Zeus and Athena and the list goes on and on. But what it was, and people had their own personal god. But they had no theology. All their gods might have had a focus point in their lives, but they were just a focus point, and they had a personal relationship, but they had no theology. They had no overriding sense of a morality. They had no overriding sense of a doctrine as we would have it as Christians. And even the early Christians had it, but the Jews, they had some theology, but they mainly had purity. And in the first lesson read this morning about the fear of the Sanhedrin were afraid that if you got involved with Jesus, you would lose your purity. And if you lost your purity, you lost your relationship with God. So they, in some ways, were not really that much. They were advanced, but not that much more advanced than were the people who had all their pagan gods. And there was no such word as the word pagan. The word pagan came into use afterwards. The word pagan means of the people or of a person. Sort of like we used to think of people out in the countryside. When I grew up in Quebec, and those of you who are from Quebec, you've heard the phrase called les bleuets. Les bleuets were the people who lived up in the county of Beauce, which is along the main border, up in that way. And the rest of Quebecers would look down at them as being kind of country bumpkins. Well, the word pagan means somewhat the same. Sort of the country bumpkin. And they had their gods, but they were just country bumpkins. And we're more sophisticated. We're the Jews. And later on, we're the Christians. But where Christianity made a marked difference was, instead of having this relationship that you had personally, my God is Athena, my God is Zeus, or whatever, Christianity had the idea that God, there was one God, universal, for the whole of the planet. There was one God for all people. And that this God is always present. Even the Jews had trouble understanding that when you left the promised land, that God was with them. They had developed that. And that's part of what the Exodus story is about. But Christians always had the idea there was one God universal. And that we today have this understanding that God is in us and in all things, and God is everywhere. And that is what we know to be true. There is one God of the universe, one God of the earth. Now, people have criticized that and said, well, I like to have something more personal. Well, what the early church did was, we had this understanding of God from the beginning. Jesus was with God and is God from the beginning. And the Easter time is a representation that even though the Romans killed the earthly Jesus, the spiritual Jesus was alive and with them all and could not be taken down by any action of human beings. And what we're celebrating here is this birth and this understanding of Christ universal, Christ alive. People have said to me, well, I like the idea of God being universal. I like the idea that God is God for all people. But I'd like to have something that's more personal in my prayer. I encourage you to have the sense of Christ is with you. The Christ who walked upon the earth with us, who knows what it's like to be human, is there with us. And that we can turn to Jesus in our prayer life and be comforted. So we're not alone, but we also are a part of a universal body of God that loves all of creation. And so when I hear people talking about, oh, the God of the Muslims or the God of the Chinese or whatever, I cringe inside. It's like fingers on a chalkboard for me, because it loses the point of Christianity, that we understand there is one God, and one God for the whole planet and all the people and all animals and all things on the planet. And God lives and is a part of all things, all of us and everything about us, and all animals and all fish and birds and the air and everything else has got God in it. We're all part of God, and God is a part of us. And this is what this new creation is about. When Jesus here breathed the Spirit on the disciples, this is the sign of the new creation. That in through Christ, God is alive and made all things new and is broad and universal. So that may be something you've already known for years, but it also may be something that is kind of a revolution. Wow, God is in all things and God is in me. We are never alone and we are always in God's love. Whether it be in this life or in the ages to come, God is with us and we are not alone. So when we are feeling bereft, when we are feeling that no one cares, when we're feeling that we are misunderstood, please know that we are not alone. That every day is an Easter. There is a resurrected Christ in all of us, always present, always loving, always caring, and also in others around us. So, for instance, we talk about the opioid crisis. We may have people close to us who are really involved deeply in a life of addiction. Know that God has not abandoned them, and that we can work with that person and pray for that person and know that God is hearing our prayer. And we can encourage that person that they're not alone, that they are still lovely, and God does care for them. And so I always had that sense there is a divine connection between us and others, even though in the earthly sense we may not experience it or know it. And so today, as we receive the Eucharist, we receive the sense of God's love poured out for us through Jesus' presence in our lives and teaching on earth that we are not alone. And that this Easter season is an affirmation of the new life that we have in Jesus. May God bless us all. Amen.